Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge, your hometown voice. And now your host, the Rogue announcer, Jeff Smith.
And I am the Rogue announcer, Jeff Smith, and you're listening to Rogue Talk for September 13th, 2019. And it's great to be with you today. Got a timely subject for today's show. And if you'd like to call the show today, you can do that at 541-299-0498. Once again, 541-299-0498. And you can email the show at feedback@943thebridge.com. And of course, 943thebridge.com, also our website here at 943 The Bridge. And you can also look up Rogue Talk on Facebook and follow us on the Facebook page there. So we're going to mix up the order of things a little bit here today. I'm going to save all of the sports and all the sports results, and as well as the upcoming schedule. We're going to do that at the end of the show. And we are on the air a couple minutes early, just as I was cracking open the studio door. I noticed the news got cut off after only a minute, and so we're a couple minutes on the air early, but happy to be with you. And what I wanted to talk about today is, since Wednesday was the 18th anniversary of the terrorist attacks on 9/11/2001, that was a big part of the conversation throughout the country this week. And so I wanted to talk about that a little bit. And of course, you know, the 18th anniversary doesn't really ring as anything special. You know, we think about, you know, that each 10 year or even the 5 years, you know, the 20th will be a big deal, and the 25th, and so on. And but really every year we need to make it a big deal, because we can't forget what happened on that day. And that's kind of the subject of my discussion today, is we're told never forget. And of course, when it comes to 9/11, I guess you have to ask the question, what is it that we're supposed to never forget? What is it that we shouldn't forget? And so I've been giving that a lot of thought this week. And, you know, of course, there's the, we should always remember the victims on that day. And most especially the heroes who gave their lives and continue to give their lives, and we'll talk about that in a little bit here, to save others. The first responders, such as police, fire, military personnel, and even the brave civilians that were on Flight 93 who lost their lives, but likely saved many other lives by the actions that they took on that plane. So, of course, we need to remember all of those people, all of the victims, all of the heroes, and there's a lot of other, you know, people that, you know, that rushed to the scene to help. Of course, when it comes to the first responders, you know, they're always going opposite direction of the chaos. They're trying to go in to save people, to help people, while those same people that they're trying to get there to help, you know, are running for their lives, basically. So it's, you know, it obviously we want to never forget those heroes. And I mentioned, you know, those that continue to give their lives to the cause of what happened on 9/11. And that's because there's a lot of people that are dying from diseases and other ailments directly related to their exposure at Ground Zero. In fact, we reached sort of a sad milestone this past couple of weeks. We reached number 200 firefighters that have died after 9/11 due to their involvement in 9/11. And so, you know, we don't want to forget that those people, I mean, here we are again, 18 years later, and we're still losing people, at least in part, due to 9/11. You know, you can argue some of the things that, you know, cancers and those things that, you know, people maybe were going to get anyhow. You know, cancer is one of those things that we sometimes put a cause onto it. You know, we try and say something causes cancer, and in a lot of cases that might be a bit of an overstep. And the reason I say that is, you know, there's people that smoke their entire lives never get lung cancer, yet there's people that never smoked that do get lung cancer. So you can't always put your finger on the exact cause of why somebody gets a certain cancer, but we know that a lot of things contribute to it. So when it comes to 9/11, the chemicals and the dust and the asbestos and the things that were in the air at Ground Zero, we know that at least some of these people were adversely affected to the point that it hastened their death. So again, there may be cases where it's not the case, and we may never know. But I mean, frankly, if you're someone that was a firefighter or a policeman or another first responder that ran into the chaos at 9/11, we're going to give you the benefit of the doubt. So, you know, again, those are two different conversations. We don't want to take anything away from those heroes. We also don't want to forget the 200 or so people that made the unthinkable choice to jump from the Twin Towers to their death, choosing the known consequence of jumping to their death over the unknown horror that they feared being stuck in those buildings as they were burning and eventually collapsed. So we want to remember those people that had to make that horrific decision. We can't even begin to fathom what was going through their minds. And so we remember those people. We all remember, well, all of us that were at least old enough to understand what was going on, we all remember where we were when we first heard of the attacks, much the way that an older generation that, again, could also be part of this conversation, of course, because they're all, many of them are still with us. But you know, there's a certain generation that remembers exactly where they were when JFK was shot. Had President Reagan died when an assassination attempt was made on him, we would probably all remember where we were when that happened. I don't remember. I was, you know, high school age when that was going on. I don't remember where I was when it happened, but it may have been a different memory for me had he died, because it would have had a greater effect. So we all kind of remember where we were. I had just moved here to Rogue River just that summer, and so we'd only been here a couple of months, and I was riding to Medford. I was working for another company at the time, and we heard we were probably hearing it fairly late. You know, a lot of stuff had happened by the time I had heard about it. I hadn't watched TV that morning, and I was riding to work, and I was working with a Mexican gentleman that was listening to the radio, and we happened to be listening to Spanish radio, Spanish-speaking radio. We would usually alternate what we listen to different days, but that day I remember him hearing it on the radio and trying to tell me what was going on. And so I believe we switched the radio to an English speaking station, because he spoke English as well, and so he wanted me to be able to hear what was going on. And so it was a long kind of strange day for us. You know, we continued with our work day, but you felt this kind of darkness over you that, you know, you don't shake that easily. So, you know, so there's all of those things that I've talked about are reasons that we should never forget. But I wonder what people mean. You know, you look on social media, you know, all day Wednesday, you saw meme after meme, different pictures. Some had different messages, but most of them, well, I shouldn't say a good portion of them, you know, said never forget. And again, all of these things, all of these victims, all of the heroes, all of that, we absolutely should never forget. But I think there's more to, you know, never forget. You know, and when we go back to that incident, and I was recounting kind of how I first heard about it, and things had progressed pretty far before I heard about it. But for a lot of people, it was kind of a step-by-step thing. You know, when the first plane hit the tower, the, you know, a lot of speculation was it was an accident. It was, you know, maybe a jetliner that had lost power, or, you know, just something, you know, it was a tragic accident. And then the second tower was hit by a second jet, and that pretty much erased in everybody's minds the idea of this being an accident. And then, of course, there was the plane hitting the Pentagon, and finally the people on Flight 93 trying to overtake the terrorists. The plane eventually went down in Shanksville, Pennsylvania, and probably saved a lot of lives in them doing that. Unfortunately, their lives were lost. And so after the course of all those events, the picture started to come into focus a little bit. We had speeches from the president. Eventually, we had the president down at Ground Zero giving a speech. We went to war. We went to two wars. In fact, we're still in one of those wars. I mean, technically, I guess the Iraq war is more or less over, I suppose. There's, you know, new things happening there, but they're not really related to the initial Iraq war. It more has more to do with the Iranians. It has more to do with other terrorist group. You know, even Syria. I mean, there's different connections to Iraq that don't have anything to do with the original Iraq war. We know that most of the troops were pulled out, maybe somewhat prematurely, but nonetheless, they were pulled out by President Obama. But we're still in Afghanistan, which was a war that was launched specifically because of 9/11, because the Taliban in Afghanistan were harboring some of the terrorists that put together the attack. So we knew that this was radical Islamic terrorism, and we knew enough from previous attacks and from previous threats and other terrorist attacks around the world that the Islamic terrorists, it's not all of Islam. And anytime you talk about something like this, unfortunately, you have to qualify it, because we have this thing in this country where we can't discuss anything without it being an all or nothing type of discussion. And of course, we know that's not how things work. And so it was radical Islamics. They think they're following the religion. You know, it's an interesting thing. We've been told, you know, well, you can't blame all of Islam. And of course, we're not blaming all of Islam. And that this ideology that would cause the jihad that would get these people to do these attacks doesn't represent true Islam. And that may be true, and I think it probably is true. The problem is, it doesn't matter what I think. It doesn't matter what the peaceful, loving Muslim down the street from me thinks. He can tell me that that's not the true religion, but it doesn't matter what he thinks or what I think. It matters what the terrorists think. They think they're carrying out their religion, and it may be a misunderstanding or gross misrepresentation of Islam, but they think that that's what they're doing. So I go back to the idea of never forget. We need to never forget that these were Islamic terrorists, because that's a big part of the picture. That's a big part of the puzzle that we need to never forget. But it seems that there's some in this country, including the media, including some of the leadership in our country, that don't really want us to include Islamic terror as part of the never forget. And we'll talk about that a little bit more when we come back.
You're listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge.
With SRN News, I'm Ron DeRockstra. Desperate Housewives star Felicity Huffman sentenced this afternoon to 14 days in prison for paying $15,000 to rig her daughter's SAT scores in the college admission scandal that's ensnared dozens of wealthy and well-connected parents. The 56-year-old actress became the first of 34 parents to be sentenced in the case. She was also given a $30,000 fine, 250 hours of community service, and a year of supervised release. A representative of the Taliban says a negotiating team is in Russia just days after President Trump declared dead a deal with the insurgent group in Afghanistan. And U.S. retail sales rose moderately, up 0.4% last month, down from a strong 0.8% in July. The numbers driven higher by a jump in auto buying and healthy online sales. This is SRN News.
Bringing you Rogue River's weather forecast at the top of every hour, this is meteorologist Ann Holliday with 94.3 The Bridge.
With SRN Sports, I'm Michael Harrington. Let's start with NFL Thursday Night Football. A goal line stand helps the Buccaneers beat the Panthers.
Tampa Bay held the Panthers without a touchdown in picking up their first win of the year, 20-14. In fact, it was the Bucs defense that came up big with just over a minute to go, stopping Christian McCaffrey on a 4th-and-1 at the 2. Jameis Winston quieted his critics with a clean performance, including one touchdown pass. Peyton Barber rushed for a touchdown as well for Tampa Bay. The Panthers fall to 0-2, both losses at home. They got 4 field goals from Joey Sly, including a pair longer than 50 yards. Brett McMillan, Charlotte.
In other NFL news, Jets quarterback Sam Darnold has mononucleosis. That means he's going to miss the team's upcoming game against the Cleveland Browns on Monday night. Coach Adam Gase says Trevor Siemian will start in Darnold's place. Not sure when he'll be coming back. This is SRN Sports. Moving on to Major League Baseball action yesterday in the American League, the Yankees took 2 off Detroit, 10-4 and 6-4. Kansas City 6, White Sox 3, the Red Sox over Toronto 7-4. Texas beat Tampa Bay 6-4, A's 3, and Houston 2. In the National League, the Brewers beat Miami 3-2, Mets 11, Arizona 1. Pittsburgh down the Giants 4-2, Cardinals 10, Colorado 3. It was the Cubs over San Diego 4-1, Phillies 9, and Atlanta 5. Interleague play, the Dodgers beat Baltimore 4-2, Nationals 12, Twins 6, and the Reds were too much for Seattle 11-5. NHL news, the Winnipeg Jets have signed defenseman Josh Morrissey to an 8-year, $50 million contract extension. The deal starts in the fall of 2020, ends in the summer of 2028, and has an average annual value of $6.25 million. This is SRN Sports.
Mm-hmm.
Talk, and we're talking about the anniversary of 9/11. And before the break, I was mentioning that the idea of never forget, it seems to be kind of a selective never forget, when it, especially when it comes to the media and some of our politicians. And I wonder, do they really want us to remember that it was Islamic terrorists that perpetrated the deeds of 9/11? And, you know, it's funny, we call it an anniversary, and I kind of hate that name for this, because I celebrate anniversaries. My anniversary with my wife, I will celebrate in October, and I'm proud of that accomplishment, and I'm happy about the anniversary of our wedding, because, you know, I'm happy that my wife and I have stayed together for so long. And so I hate the term anniversary, and I wish we had another. I'm sure there's probably a better word, but I wish we could use a different word to describe it. But when it comes to the Islamic terror, it seems they don't want us to remember that part, whether it's the media or Congress, our education system. It seems we're supposed to skip that part of the story, you know, because anti-Muslim backlash. Because, you know, we Americans were such horrible people that we're ready to repeat the mistakes of FDR and round up all the Muslims. And, well, of course, that never happened. And while I don't say that we won't make more mistakes as a country, of course we will. We've made them throughout our history. Every country has. But this idea of this huge Muslim backlash, you know, initially, maybe, I don't know that there are any numbers on that. But, you know, obviously there was a lot of doubt when you would see someone in, you know, traditional Muslim attire. You know, it for some people, it made them a little nervous or whatever. I don't really worry about things like that. I'm one of those people that I just never get too excited about things I can't control. You know, I just deal with things as they come. It's not that I don't stress over stuff. I sometimes do. I stress over this show all the time, and I won't get into that any further, the effect that it has. But I just don't spend a lot of time on things I can't control. But I understand there were people that were nervous about the Muslim community, and you know, in a lot of ways, rightfully so. But this kind of overall Muslim backlash, it really hasn't come to fruition. Again, I'm sure there was a lot of it at the very beginning, but this idea that we need to protect ourselves from the truth is something I can't get behind. And but the media, they always have a narrative they want to promote. You know, I've recently heard, and I know I mention his name a lot, but he's one of the people I like to listen to, Dan Bongino. He has a phrase he's been using lately, is that the media wants to tell you a story, not the story. And of course, what he means by that is they don't, they're more concerned with the narrative than with just giving you the facts and letting you decide what those facts mean. And not just on the shows, you know, of course you have the opinion shows, and that's different, but even in their news broadcasting, they have to shoehorn, they have to shoehorn the information to fit into the narrative that they're promoting. And so I was interested about this, and so I decided I would Google hate crimes against Muslims. And you Google that, and immediately you come up with some pretty damning stories, and, you know, it, or at least it would seem that way. at least from the headlines. And so here's a few of the headlines of stories that came up when I Googled hate crimes against Muslims. Story headline from the BBC, FBI, spike in U.S. hate crimes for third year in a row. So they're reporting that from the FBI, there was a spike in hate crimes for a third year in a row here in the U.S. Arab American Institute reported, hate crimes continue to surge in America. CNN.com, on their opinion page, FBI stats on hate crimes are scary. So is what's missing. So it all sounds pretty ominous, and it is. If hate crimes are on the rise, that's a terrible thing. That's horrible. We don't want that. Now, I would push back a little bit because I'm not comfortable with the term hate crime. I think it's too broadly defined. I think it's frequently misapplied. I hate this idea of separating a certain type of hate and giving it the label of hate when a lot of other crime is also hate, but it's not labeled a hate crime because it doesn't meet these certain criteria. So I'm not that comfortable with the term, but that's the term that they're using and that's how they're measuring the statistics. So we have to go with it. So it's terrible to hear that hate crimes are on the rise. But when you read these stories, there's a certain vagueness in those headlines, and you have to oftentimes get many, many, many paragraphs deep in these stories before you get to the real story or the better facts. And so I did that a little bit. And so the narrative is they want you to believe that because hate crimes are on the rise and we're supposedly this anti-Muslim society, that therefore, and again, I searched Muslim hate crimes. I used the word Muslim in my search, and this is what came up. The problem is all of these stories and the many more that came up with similar headlines, they're not really about the Muslims. They're about the Jews. Not only do the Jews outpace every other group, every other category, as victims of hate crimes, but the vast majority of the reported spike in hate crimes, you guessed it, is against the Jewish people. So, in fact, one study that I found that was a recent study, they were using 2017 statistics, I do believe, or that was the last year they would use, but the study came out, I think, this year or maybe the end of last year. I don't have the date exact on that. But they did a study of 10 major U.S. cities, and it showed a decline in anti-Muslim incidents. So, again, the narrative that's being painted, you do the search, Muslim hate crimes, and you get all of these stories that are supposed to support this anti-Muslim sentiment around the country. And again, it's just like anything. There are people that have that feeling, that are anti-Muslim or anti-Black or anti-Jewish or anti-Mormon or anti-Catholic. You're going to find people that fit these narrative, but you're not going to find an overall, you know, a nationwide movement in any one of these directions, although the anti-Semitism seems to be the one that has got the most, you know, the biggest problem in this country is a rise in anti-Semitism. It has nothing to do with Islam. Well, actually, it's funny that it happens to be anti-Semitism because it does have a lot to do with Islam, but it's not prejudice against Islam. It's prejudice from Islam, because they're part of the anti-Semitic problem, unfortunately. And so what we're seeing is almost the opposite of what the narrative has been. And so, you know, I see a lot of these memes and I wonder what they want me to never forget. And, you know, it's funny because you kind of can tell from maybe who's sharing the meme and which one they chose to share, what pictures it shows. But it's an interesting problem that, you know, we have to tackle in this country. But I would suggest to everybody that the source of the terror is as important for us to never forget as all the other things. And they're all important. Again, we talked about first responders and the firemen and policemen and you know, the heroes on Flight 93 and all of that. So I'm not discounting any of that. I just think we definitely need to include the source of the terror. And we need to educate our kids about this. You know, I saw one of these, you know, kind of Johnny on the street type of interview deals, and it was I probably should have saved it so I could maybe play part of it here, but I didn't. I just happened to see it, and I didn't really think about keeping it for use on the show. But it was one of these where they go out and grab people on the street and ask them a question, and this one happened to be focusing on younger people, maybe, you know, Gen Z and maybe some millennials, but I think it was more, you know, the younger generation, younger than the millennials, and asking them if they could name the terrorist leader that was deemed to be responsible for 9/11. And I don't know how many people they actually talked to, but clip after clip after clip, these people couldn't name Osama bin Laden. And I wonder why that is. Well, there's only two ways they're going to find this out. They're going to learn it in their history classes in school, where they're going to learn it at home. And clearly they're not learning it in either of those places. You know, the interesting thing, the wrong answer that was given the most, at least in what I saw. Now, again, I don't know how much they cut out of this, but in the answers that I saw, the most frequently given wrong answer was Saddam Hussein, which I found interesting, because while it's probably true that the Iraqis did fund some terrorism and probably were friendly toward terrorists that hated America, that wasn't, although maybe we were told that wasn't really the focus of the Iraq war. Again, what we were told and probably what was happening are probably two different things. Eventually, we did go ahead and we got rid of Saddam Hussein, and Iraq has basically been somewhat in chaos ever since. But nonetheless, I just found it interesting that was the wrong answer that I heard the most was Saddam Hussein, and I thought that's an interesting mistake. But again, that's not the fault of these young people that were answering this question. If they don't know these things, it's because somebody didn't tell them. And so, you know, the memes are right. We need to never forget, but we need to never forget all of it. We can't pick and choose. We have to remember all of it, because if we decide to forget who Osama bin Laden was, if we decide to forget that it was radical Islamic terrorist, a jihad against America and the West was the reason for the attack, then we're doomed to have it repeated. As soon as we forget, when they see our guard down, they'll strike again. They may try and strike again anyhow. In fact, there's been some smaller attempts to do, you know, various attacks. We've had other, well, I mean, we had the Boston Marathon bombings, stuff like that, that are, smaller scale attacks. And of course, we have domestic style attacks that have nothing to do with Islamic terror. We have to pay attention to all of that stuff. But when they say never forget, we need to never forget all of it. So I'm going to take another break. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about Chieftain Sports. Of course, the football season kicked off last Friday, and they're playing again tonight. But we'll talk about all of the sports and more when we come back.
You're listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge.
With SRN News, I'm Ron DeRockstra. New York State's Attorney General contends in court papers the family that owns OxyContin maker Purdue Pharma used Swiss bank accounts to cancel or conceal the transfer of millions of dollars from the company to themselves. New York Friday asked the judge to enforce the subpoenas of the company's banks and advisors to Purdue and its owners, the Sackler family. The state said it's already documented $1 billion in transfers between those parties. China will lift punitive tariffs imposed on U.S. soybeans, pork, and some other farm goods in a trade war with Washington ahead of scheduled negotiations. The move follows President Trump's decision Wednesday to postpone a planned October 1st tariff hike on Chinese imports to October 15th. And Desperate Housewives star Felicity Huffman gets 14 days in prison for her part in the college admission scandal. This is SRN News.
Where the rooster crows. 94.3, The Bridge.
Oh, I wish there was a way to find out what events are going on in Rogue River.
There is.
There is?
Yeah, the website for 94.3 The Bridge.
They have Rogue River events on their website?
Yeah, for Gold Hill, Weimar, and Grants Pass, too. You can even submit your own event for everyone in town to see. And if it's on the website, they automatically talk about it on the radio, too.
That's awesome. What's the address to this site?
It's 943thebridge.com.
N-I-N.
No. Just type the numbers. 943thebridge.com.
Oh, 943thebridge.com. Hey, look, they have the latest local news on there, too.
They have everything on there. 943thebridge.com.
My savings are gone.
Okay, where were they last?
Here, right before I spent them on that vacation to Aruba.
Weird. Not weird. Not saving now means no money later. For free ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. This message brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
With the SRN News Business Brief, I'm George Manzani. The Trump administration has revoked an Obama-era wetlands regulation which pitted property rights and economic interests against environmentalists. Jay Timmons speaks for the National Association of Manufacturers, agreeing with the administration's move.
The water rule actually tried to regulate areas of dry land. That was counterproductive, and it put manufacturing jobs at risk.
With 1 month remaining in the federal fiscal year, the U.S. government's budget deficit has topped $1 trillion. The Treasury Department is reporting that the 2019 red ink increased by $169 billion to $1.07 trillion ahead of the September 30th end-of-the-month budget year. Budget experts project a surplus for September, which would keep the 2019 final deficit below the $1 trillion mark. Wall Street yesterday, S&P up 9, Dow up 45, NASDAQ gaining 25. With SRN Business, I'm George Bonzani.
We would like to thank Depot Street Grill for supporting 94.3 The Bridge. The new owner of Depot Street Grill says he wants to bring his community together for some good food in a fun atmosphere at a great price. That's why Depot Street Grill is such a huge supporter of the Rogue River community. Depot Street Grill serves breakfast all day and is now open 7 days a week. Please thank Depot Street Grill for their support.
Daniel Boone's Trading Post is celebrating 33 years in business. It's where you'll find unique home decor, garden tools, shop tools, pet carriers, and their specialty, kitchenware, Corningware, Revereware, American cast iron pans that are 50 to 150 years old, all at prices you'll love. Across from Toyota and Les Schwab on Redwood Highway in Grants Pass. Just look for the horse and buggy on the roof. Daniel Boone's Trading Post, open 9:30 to 4:30 every day but Sunday.
back to Rogue Talk. And before we jump into the high school sports, I was listening to the news during the break there, and it and I heard that the actress Felicity Huffman got 14 days in jail as part of her sentence. And I'm wondering what you think about that. Is that enough? Is it too much? And I happen to be listening to someone I generally don't always agree with. Dan Abrams is one of the law lawyers that they bring on Good Morning America as their legal expert, and he sometimes I think that I don't agree with him, but I'm not a lawyer, so I you know, have to defer to him on instances of the law. But he made an interesting point this morning that I didn't think about, and that was that any of these people involved in this, what they're being charged with are financial crimes. And there really was no financial loss to the institutions that were affected. And I found that interesting because really the victims here are the kids that maybe didn't get a scholarship because somebody cheated to get that scholarship. But that's not really what the crime is. Now, I would like to think, but I don't know how this would work, that there would be some sort of civil way to go after these people civilly to get some restitution. The problem is, how do you prove that you're the person that didn't get a scholarship? Because, you know, that would be really something really hard to prove. It's easy to prove that they cheated. It's easy to prove that they did things that they shouldn't have done. I just don't know enough about the law. I just found it interesting that he pointed out that these are financial laws that they've been said to have broken. I think in her case she pleaded guilty, if I'm not mistaken, so she was just being sentenced, where the other actress, the one from Full House, is pleading not guilty and fighting her charges. And so, you know, it'll be interesting to see what happens in the cases that are, you know, that they have to go to trial, and see how that turns out, and see if the punishments are going to be stricter because, you know, because they did take it that route. But this definitely sets a precedent for what's going to happen in the future to these other. And remember, there's a lot of defendants we're not hearing about because they're not celebrities, but there's a bunch of people charged in this. Some are pleading guilty, some are not. But there's a lot of people that were involved. Most of them were fairly wealthy people. Otherwise, they wouldn't have had the money to you know, bribe who they bribed or to pay for the fake tests or whatever it was that they happened to do in this part of this scandal. But, you know, remember that Felicity Huffman is just kind of the one we're seeing. But, you know, she's not the only one by any stretch. So it'd be interesting to see how this turns out. Again, to see how Lori Loughlin from Full House, how her trial goes, you know, and she could still, you know, she could still change her plea or reach some sort of agreement, plea bargain or something. You know, we don't know what's going to happen in that case yet, but she's probably feeling a little better about things, seeing that Felicity Huffman got 14 days. And I'm sure there was some restitution. But I don't know that. I don't have all the stuff in front of me. I just found it interesting. I heard them mention it in the news over the break, and I thought I would touch on that just a little bit. But anyhow, so let's get to Chieftain Sports, and I'm going to bring up, I had a little bit of information saved regarding the girls' soccer, and just got a message from one of the producers, Mike in the Truck, she also had a $30,000 fine, so whatever she paid to cheat, she's got another $30,000 on top of that, and apparently there was also some community service involved. So again, not, I mean, relatively speaking, I would say a slap on the hand, but not the worst thing in the world. And, you know, for some of these people, Felicity Huffman, I don't think will have a problem with it. She seems like a, you know, like a pretty good person, more or less. I mean, she admits she made a huge mistake. So community service is not going to be a problem, I think, for her. On the other hand, Lori Loughman, if they give her community service, that might be more problematic. She seems a little more, a little pricklier. Let's just leave it at that. She's not as easygoing, it seems like, as Felicity Huffman. So we'll see how that turns out. But she's not quite as nice as the character she played on Full House. So we'll leave it at that. So anyhow, let's get back to Chieftain Sports. Let's start with girls soccer. The girls soccer team has really gotten off the season really well. And I'm just trying to find the story I had here. So yesterday, this is coming from the Lady Chieftains soccer page, Rogue River Lady Chieftains Soccer on Facebook. And I'll just read it to you here. Lady Chieftains win. The Lady Chieftains' first home game was a success against Lapine. 5-0 win. Michaela Drake had 3 goals. Alyssa Sizemore had 1. And Shayla Billings had a great goal off of a cross, so one of those really exciting ones that you like to see, you see the highlights on, like SportsCenter. So some great offense for the Chieftains. Michaela Drake and Alyssa Sizemore each had an assist, and strong defensive efforts by Skylar Andrews in goal, and Dylan Nielsen and Melody Mantlow also on a great job on defense. And so that was their third win of the season. They're 3-0. They have not played a league game yet, but they're 3-0, including, and they took a trip up to Portland and played a game up there and won that game. I think that was a 3-0 game. So a great start to the season for the Lady Chieftains soccer team. They don't play again until next Saturday, and that will be. Versus Central Lynn, a Central Lynn Mohawk combined team. And I don't have all the details on that, but we'll mention that again next Friday. But they've got the whole week off. Don't play again until a week from Saturday. Boys soccer, they haven't played a game yet. And so they've only played in their jamboree. Did well in the jamboree. Their first game will be this Monday. They will play at U.S. Cellular Field number 12. They'll be playing against Rogue Valley Adventist Academy, and that game will be at 3 o'clock. And then they got to turn around and play again on Wednesday. They will host Illinois Valley at 4:30. And I don't quote me 100% on this, but I believe all of the varsity games are played at Beck Field. Unless they've decided to change that. Yeah, years ago, we played at Chieftain Stadium, but for the last several years, the soccer teams have been playing at Beck Field, so I believe that's where that will be. If I hear any different, I will put that out on Facebook. Volleyball team having a tougher time of it so far this year. They're 0-4 and 0-2 league record. This past week, they lost at home versus Bonanza, and again on Thursday, that was Tuesday, and on Thursday they lost to Lost River, and that was on the road. Both of those were 0-3 set losses. And their next games coming up will be next week, Tuesday 5:15, home versus Glide. And Thursday at 5:15, they will go on the road to Butte Falls. And we don't have a cross-country team this year, and I'm really disappointed about that. Of course, the The former Rogue Talk mascot, and I promised that once he graduated, he wouldn't be the mascot anymore, but that would be my son, Cameron. He was on the cross-country team last year, went to the state meet, and so I was hoping to continue, you know, with the cross-country at the high school, but they just didn't get a team put together, so sorry to hear that. And finally, football, right here on 94.3 The Bridge. Last Friday, we had our first game, and we won that game, of course. And I'm just trying to bring up the schedule here. I've got too many things in front of me, and I hate to make excuses, but the show starting today about 2 minutes early was 2 minutes I really, really desperately needed. So, of course, they hosted Lakeview last Friday. They were down 8-0 at halftime, and they dominated the second half, 24 straight points. They held Lakeview scoreless in the second half, and they won 24-8. Some of the big performances, Gabe Tambellini, his running out of the fullback spot in the second half was just dominant. The first two drives of the second half, he was just running over people, running right up the middle, and just dominated. And really a big turn in the game, there was a blocked field goal attempt. Sam Hagg, a freshman, got in through the line, got up the middle, blocked the kick, and it was scooped up by, I believe it was Caden Tognoni that scooped it up. In fact, I was talking to Cameron today about that game, and we were kind of lamenting that when Caden, he scooped that ball up, he kind of hesitated. He kind of picked it up and looked around. I'm not sure if he knew for sure whether or not he could advance that ball, and he finally did take off running, and we scored on the play, and that was a big momentum turn in that game. That really got the Chieftains fired up, and again, they went on to dominate the entire second half, and they won that game 24-8. And tonight they will be at home again. They will be hosting Culver. Now, we played Culver last year on the road, and so they're coming here this year. But the interesting thing with the Culver game is they won their first contest. It was against Illinois Valley, and they won 39-0 at Illinois Valley last week. And so this could be a really, really good game. I believe we lost to Culver last year on the road. But the games we went to at Culver and at Lapine and at Lakeview last year, all close games, all defensive games. And so this should be a fun game tonight. So I would encourage you to get on out to Chieftain Stadium. Bring your radio. We'll have the game right here on 94.3 The Bridge. Kickoff at 7 o'clock. We'll be on the air just a few minutes before kickoff. I normally have Rich Wheeler with me as he takes care of the color announcing. He won't be there tonight. Still working on a couple of people. I may be by myself, and I may have some help up there. We'll see. I won't know till I get there. But we were trying to get some couple of ex players we've been talking to see if we could get them up in the booth. And so we'll see if we were successful in twisting their arms when I get there tonight. But should be a great contest, a good matchup, and hopefully the Chieftain offense can find that same momentum that they found in the second half last week. And looking at the football schedule, just to kind of give you an idea of what's happening here on 94.3 The Bridge, after this week's home game with Culver, the Chieftains will have their first road game. That'll be on the 20th, Friday the 20th, and they will travel to Brookings Harbor. Not one of the trips I really look forward to. I enjoy being on the coast, but I don't like that drive to Brookings. But we're going to be another 7 o'clock kickoff at Brookings Harbor. coming up the following week, and then the Chieftains are back at home. They'll host Lapine, so heavy home schedule for the Chieftains, where it was just the opposite last year. Three long road trips last year: Lapine, Culver, and Lakeview, all having to come here this year. And so the Chieftains getting a more home-friendly schedule this year. Again, hosting Culver tonight, 7 o'clock kickoff right here on 94.3 The Bridge. And I was just taking a look. Brookings Harbor also winning their first game. They beat Gold Beach 54-6. So it's looking like the season's going to get a little tougher here these next couple of weeks for the Chieftains. And as we talked about on the broadcast last Friday, it's a real mix of players on that Chieftain football team. There's a lot of new freshmen, some of them that are making their presence known right away, including, I mentioned, Sam Hagg. But there's some other freshmen. One of the freshmen that we're hoping to see at some point is the coach's son, Rock Riggle. He's listed as one of the quarterbacks on the depth chart, but we are really excited to see how he does. But a few of the other freshmen also got some significant playing time, especially toward the end of that game. We talked about the family affair on the line, on both the offensive and defensive line. The Stanleys, there's three Stanleys, including the first female player on the Chieftains that I believe is the first female player since Brittany Coulter was the kicker and punter several years ago. And so Katrina Stanley playing on the line with her two brothers, John and CJ. So should be exciting. I hope you'll join us out at Chieftain Stadium. That's all for today. So be good to one another, because Rogue Talk is over.
You've been listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge.
Listen to Rogue Talk with Jeff Smith, Fridays at 3 p.m. right here on Rogue River's Hometown Voice.
94.3 The Bridge.
Or on demand at 943thebridge.com.